Well, the holidays have come and gone once again, but if you've forgotten to get that special someone in your life a gift, well, Mint Mobile is extending their holiday offer of half off unlimited wireless. So here's the idea. You get it now. You call it an early present for next year. What do you have to lose?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Limited time 50% off regular price for new customers. Upfront payment required. $45 for 3 months. $90 for 6 months. Or $180 for 12-month plan. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds may slow after 50 gigabytes per month when network is busy. See terms.
Everybody doesn't think y'all are good enough. You're not good enough to beat a Clemson team that's returning Cade Klubnik and all this talent that's returning on defense. Woo! This is LSU. The LSU Tigers, right? Remember who y'all are. I'm riding with the boys. What is up, everybody? Thanks for joining us on another edition of Crane & Company. Remember, without you, there is no us. We really appreciate you watching us every day or listening to us every day on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other places. It's been an amazing August so far. And these prediction episodes, it's only getting hotter and heavier. We've done Alabama. We've done Georgia. We've done Ohio State. We've done Michigan. And today, joined by former Michigan quarterback David Cone to my left, former Western State Colorado wide receiver Blaine Crane to my right, we are going to be predicting the regular season for the LSU Tigers, baby. Brian Kelly and the boys, Nuss is back, a lot of confidence from the LSU fan base right now. We're going to be going through it game by game and making our picks. Again, this is just the regular season. If you're not subscribed, please go ahead and do that. And we want to know in the comments, what do you think? What do you think LSU's record overall will be? Blaine, I want to start with you here. When I look at this LSU team, I do think that Blake Baker and the defense will be better than what we've seen because it has gotten better. It hadn't been great, but I do think it will be better. I like some of the moves that they've made in the transfer portal. You look at the players they return. You look at Perkins. You look at Whit Weeks. You can go down the list. But the offensive line, to me, I know what Nuss is going to be. I know how good the wide receiver group that LSU pretty much has almost every season will be with what they bring back and what they've added. It's that offensive line. And when you have a quarterback like Garrett Nussmeier that is not a great runner, not that he's a paraplegic or he can't run, but he's not a great runner, you have to have a legitimate run game. And that last year, I thought, was the biggest weakness for an LSU team that should have been great at running the ball, that we were told was going to be great at running the ball. Will LSU be better on the offensive line this year when it comes to the ground game to open up everything?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I don't know how much worse they could have gotten last year, especially with the talent they had at running back. But, yeah, I do think they're going to be better. From an offensive talent standpoint, no, I don't think they're going to be more talented this year. But I do think they're going to be better when it comes to running. From a fluid and continuity standpoint, I think Garrett Nussmeier coming back is going to be huge. But this isn't about LSU's offense. Right. I'll never worry about LSU offense, really, with the things that are running down in Louisiana. If you can put a border around that state, you're going to be fine when it comes to skill position. LSU's defense has been an atrocity for years now. For years now. And it hurts me at my heart because I remember the days when I used to watch LSU play on Saturday and would be scared as a kid.
You used to watch it like this.
TV, watching
the Grudge
run around. Not only from the defensive line standpoint, LSU used to be DBU. DBU, whoever had number 7 running around right there was an absolute freak. Go watch Tyrann Mathieu's highlights. Go watch Patrick Peterson's highlights. That shit has been missing from LSU, and that is Blake Baker's job to fix that, right? And the only thing I've heard is great things coming out of the secondary this year, that they're going to have elite talent. They have some transfers in. They have pieces there. But with LSU, it's a mindset thing to me. It's a mentality thing to me. LSU used to walk out on the field and think that they're better than everybody. Now I don't see that, so I'm waiting to see that again.
David, do we see the transformation this year? And where do you rank Nuss with the returning quarterbacks, the Drew Allers, the Cade Klubniks?
Look, man, he's the only returning 4,000-yard passer in the country. I think he's going to limit mistakes this year, and we're going to still see all the good. Again, he's a coach's son, right? We're talking about someone who has the physical capabilities to put the football wherever he wants, but also someone who does the little things right. That's a lethal combination. I feel good about the quarterback position. I also feel good about the wide receiver room. Not just Aaron Anderson, right, but you bring in Nick Anderson from Oklahoma. Remember, I think it was him who caught the game-winning touchdown in Red River a couple years ago when Oklahoma beat Texas, and then Berrien Brown coming in from Kentucky. Yes, of course, I'm interested to know, can LSU not just run the football, but run it when they need it most? Also, will they try and force balance, right? It's great to be balanced, but some games you need to run more than you pass. Some games you need to pass more than you run. Are they trying to force balance just to prove a point in the run game? I'm interested in that. And then on the defensive side of the football, I mean, look, half the starters are going to be transfers. The pro of that can be, well, we weren't that good, so we had to go get good players, and Brian Kelly has finally really embraced the transfer portal. Okay, but the con of that could be, what is the cohesion of this unit going to be when we've already seen deficiencies on that side of the ball? And can that be a unit? I say this for a lot of the teams. Can that be a unit for the team that dictates a game late in the season when you need it and you're on the road in Tuscaloosa or you're on the road playing one of these top teams in the league?
Well, and to that point, David, and I think it's a great one. Typically, that takes time and in-game experience together. You can practice all you want. You can try and simulate the real thing all you want. But until that group of individuals are in that game together and have to communicate in a game against a team that is not running what you've seen all through spring that your offense runs and did Skelly against the summer and then obviously in fall camp, how long does that gelling take? And if you're Blake Baker, do you say, you know what, maybe a way to gel them faster is to simplify a little bit of what we're doing to make the communication easier and be able to define everybody's job? Now, that's great if you can line up and just out-talent people. But if you go into a game and in week one, you are going on the road to face a team that returns the most production in all of college football. There is no learning curve for Clemson when it comes to communicating. These guys have been here. They've seen it. They've been there a million times. So how long does that take for LSU defensively and with everybody that's new to be able to get on the same page in a high pressure, high intensity moment and be able to actually over communicate and have everybody in the right spot? That's what I'm looking
for. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and one more thing on this game before we even dive into Clemson. I just want to reiterate, like, hats off to LSU. I have the utmost respect for LSU football for year in and year out scheduling these types of games, you know, hosting Florida State, going to Florida State, you know, USC a year ago in Las Vegas. And I know LSU fans are frustrated that they can't seem to win one of these opening non-conference matchups. And if they lose this one, and not just lose it, but if that's the one that keeps you out of the playoff and you go 9-3, or, you know, if they can't get in the playoff with that loss, it's going to be even more frustrating. But I tell you what, it's good for college football, and I have a lot of respect for LSU football scheduling these games.
100%. And going back to it, I know they played USC at a neutral site last year, but this is a home and home. They're going to Clemson, South Carolina. Then Clemson will be going to Baton Rouge to play them, and that's how it should be. So starting out, and I want to make this point as well, that it's this and the Texas-Ohio State game, they're the apple of my eye in week one. I don't know which game is going to be better. It's funny, one game returns two quarterbacks that are returning that are talented with Nussmeier and Cade Klubnik, and the other one with Texas-Ohio State. We get to see Arch Manning versus Julian Sand there. But I am going to pick Clemson to win this game, and it has nothing to do with LSU losing opening season games before this.
Sure.
It has absolutely nothing to do with that. If you've ever played or coached at a high level in sports, you understand the difference year over year. It's whatever happened last year, maybe it helps a little bit of prep for motivation, summer workouts and this, that, and the other. It's not going to have an effect on what happens in this game, especially when you're playing a new team. LSU and Clemson did not play last year. I am picking Clemson in this game because I think Clemson is as good as LSU roster-wise, and they're at home and they're more experienced. And when I look at recipes in week one, same way we just talked about the new guys that they've gotten to the transfer portal, Clemson doesn't get down like that. These guys have all been here. They've been developed. This is a massive game for Clemson. When you look at who they get to play in the ACC as opposed to what LSU has to go through, if Clemson wins this one, you feel pretty damn good about them getting a 10. And even though it's not a conference game, you feel like they're going to be better than pretty much everybody they play throughout the rest of the season until they get to South Carolina at the end. So this is the first test. I think the defensive line that Clemson has with Peter Woods and TJ Parker and all these guys and Sammy at linebacker are going to give that LSU offensive line problems. I don't think LSU will be able to run the ball very effectively in this one. On the road, they're going to get in predictable downs. I like Clemson to win this first game against LSU.
Clemson is the right pick here. I mean, not only will they be at home, but they're going to have one of the best quarterbacks in the country, too, with Cade Klubnik. That's going to kind of neutralize you coming in with Garrett Nussmeier. And to your point, they're going to have cats running around, first-round picks running around all over the football field. And while there will be an element of Brian Kelly and LSU like needing to make the playoff, and that is important and that can go a long way, Clemson has a sour taste in their mouth too. The way they were put out a year ago with Texas, giving up 300 yards of rushing, like they're not like coming off some national championship team where you can get complacent. I think as we sit here right now in August, Clemson is the right pick, and everything I'm saying, LSU knows that. LSU knows that. So what are you going to do about it? You can dictate the change. You can go beat them. But right now, Clemson's the pick.
Look, Clemson's a better team, better quarterback, better overall roster. I mean, you bring back the most production. Everybody and their mother is picking Clemson. And that's why I'm picking LSU.
No, you're going Harvey Dent.
One, USC 27, LSU 20. Florida State 45, LSU 24. Florida State 24, LSU 23. UCLA 38, LSU 27. Mississippi State 44, LSU 34. You've lost five straight season openers since your 2019 national championship. And I know y'all don't think that's going to carry a lot of weight, but I promise you, Brian Kelly is throwing that into their face every day. Every day that y'all got something to prove. This is a faceless opponent. This isn't about Clemson. This is about LSU. Everybody doesn't think y'all are good enough. You're not good enough to beat a Clemson team that's returning Cade Klubnik and all this talent that's returning on defense. And somewhere in the ether, somebody forgot that this is LSU. The LSU Tigers, right? Remember who y'all are. I'm riding with the boys against this game. It's not revenge against Clemson. It's revenge against those five season open losses that LSU went through. So when everybody rides one team, I promise you, fade the other way. LSU upset week one at Clemson, not even the real Death Valley.
I love the performative art that you're doing to gas LSU up right now, and I respect it. But didn't Brian Kelly do this last year? Didn't they go play you? Wait, they play USC where? Where was that at? Was that in New Orleans?
I thought it was in Las Vegas.
Maybe it was in Vegas. I think it was. It was at Caesars. That's right. That's okay. Where Will Campbell was talking. So they go to Vegas, and they've lost four season openers before this in a row. The same ones you listed, right? Four in a row. So it's not like this just happened last year, and Brian Kelly was telling them, we got to come out and play better week one. Will Campbell's talking about they're going to be eating people's faces and all type of stuff in front of the slot machines in Caesar's Palace. They were all gassed up for it. And then you get beat by USC. But again, I don't think this has anything to do with what's gone on the year before. Maybe Brian Kelly does mix up the way they prepare, but the way he's doing it, it hadn't worked. So you can give me the hoorah and yeah, let's get together, boys, and go win one for the Gipper and all that stuff.
Why did you bring up something from the year before then say what happened?
Because I was saying that you're using that same logic that they used going into the first game last year, and it didn't work. What I'm telling you is it's got nothing to do with it. Clemson's just better than they are, and they're going to get him at home.
Does a better team always win?
Most of the time. If I gave you 10 games and I said bet on the better team to win in those 10 games, how many of those 10 you going to win?
Does it not
probably
all 10?
Probably 7 or 8.
Not all 10.
Probably 7
not
or 8.
I'd say a parlay.
Probably yeah, 7
not
or 8.
You're still making money.
Not probably 7 10. Or 8. So I'm gonna pick Clemson.
LSU, baby.
Okay. All right, we'll see. Rah. I can't wait. I hope it's a great game.
Okay, keep that same energy with Louisiana Tech.
Yeah.
The you best think team doesn't always win.
Yeah.
Listen, that
spread in 3.5.
Out of all the technical schools in Louisiana, they're the best. And they go to Baton Rouge week two. After the loss, I think LSU is going to murder them. People are going to be pissed. Say, oh, here we go again. We're going to have to deal with this again. I think we all got LSU beating La Tech.
Yeah? You think?
Yep. So Blaine's got him 2-0. We've got him 1-1. And then old Florida comes to Baton Rouge. Mm. You know, you remember what happened last year, right? You look at DJ Lagway. Is he healthy? I've got Florida winning some big games this year, fellas, but not this one. Give me LSU at home coming off that loss to Clemson. Yeah, you beat Louisiana Tech, but that doesn't make anybody feel better. You just rebounded with a 4. That make you feel better about yourself. So give me LSU in a big win over Florida at home to get to 2-1 and most importantly 1-0 in the Southeastern Conference.
I can't wait for this one. The Florida Gators coming into Baton Rouge. DJ Lagway, God's gift to football. I think you're coming in to lose though. Give me LSU at home. Holds that home field advantage. Goes to 2-1.
Close. Close, but being at the real Death Valley, I think LSU wins.
And I agree with you. It is the real Death Valley. LSU is the real Death Valley. All right, thanks. So.
I know.
They're going to beat Southeast Louisiana.
My dog!
Shout out our boy Blake Ruffino, but they're going to beat the shit out of you.
My dog!
Yeah. So I've got him beaten. We all got him beaten Southeast Louisiana. So I have him at 3-1. You got him, Coney, at 3-1. Blaine, you got him at 4-0. And then here comes old Elaine Train.
Is that a major pain?
I don't know. I was just thinking about on Night of the Roxbury when Will Ferrell's like, you know, when I saw you, I heard the ambulance coming to take me away. And he's like,
okay.
All right, so Ole Miss.
Nah, I definitely have LSU winning.
Ole Miss at home. At home. All right, again, you want to go back to games from last year that are huge. Austin Simmons, the guy by this time will have a decent idea of how he's doing at Ole Miss. But I think LSU, because Ole Miss's front seven isn't what it was last year, is able to run the ball. They're balanced on offense in a shootout. A shootout versus Ole Miss. Give me LSU 41, Ole Miss 38.
This Ole Miss-LSU game is becoming like a really interesting mid-season rivalry.
It's like always coming down the last play.
A lot of intrigue. Talking about a shootout, that's how it always seems to be. Remember Jaden Daniels having to fight his way back in that game? And right now, I got LSU going on the road to Oxford and winning this thing. But, man, I got a lot of respect for this Austin Simmons kid.
Yeah,
and
I can't wait to
I think
see
he's going to make it interesting.
Ole Miss defense worries me. Lost so much. I think Berrien Brown takes a kick return back and maybe a punt return back in the same game. Special teams is the difference.
Special
teams for LSU, so I'm taking LSU.
We've all been there, endlessly scrolling through fitness influencers selling complicated routines that promise the world but deliver very little. Because the truth is, most of these tips and tricks just overcomplicate what should be simple. Now, that's where FitBod comes in. They combine the workout planning and tracking you actually need to stay consistent and make your real progress on your summer body. Now, what makes FitBod special is how it builds workouts around your specific situation. It is a true scouting report for your body. Now, I'm sure all of us want to get in shape for swimsuit season and football season when you're out there walking around the tailgates. And FitBod's app creates routines based on your unique fitness journey, available equipment, and even factors in your recovery time between sessions to make that possible. Now, their smart technology ensures each workout hits the sweet spot, challenging enough to drive results without pushing you to burn out. Plus, with over 1,000 demonstration videos, you'll never wonder if you're doing an exercise correctly. It's like having a trainer who really knows you, pushing you just enough to make progress without burning out. We have personal experience. For our movie Lady Ballers, we had to lose some weight to look better on camera, and that's what FitBod did for each of us in a unique way that was tailored specifically to us. So get in shape this summer with FitBod. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan and get 25% off your subscription or try the app free for 7 days at fitbod.me/booster. That's FITBOD.ME/booster.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
All right, so then you got a bye week. All right, you get to catch your breath. I'd have them at 4-1, 2-0 in the S. Remember, they lost the opener last year to USC and then ran out all the way to 6-1. And again, they were undefeated in the SEC. So at this point, I have them 4-1. David, you have them 4-1. Blaine, you have them 5-0. And if LSU's 5-0 in this point, and you got a bye week, you got a massive one coming up the next week with South Carolina, who a lot of people are high on. Like I said, I'm trusting, but I need to verify with their front seven as well, coming to LSU. And as much as it broke South Carolina's heart last year, not only that they lost to LSU at home when game day was there, but how they lost with Lenoris going out with the ankle. Robbie Ashford has to try and lead you back, and you miss a field goal to tie the game. You end up losing. That was a massive comeback win. Because remember, guys, South Carolina was up 17-0. They ran out on LSU, but now you're going into Death Valley. And if LSU is 4-1 with those two wins over Florida and Ole Miss at this point, they're probably going to be a top 12 team, top 10. This will probably be a night game. I'm going to rock with LSU finding a way against South Carolina because I think they're going to be able to move the ball a little bit better this year because South Carolina's front seven, they're going to be nice, but they're not going to be what they were last year. Give me LSU.
I got Alabama going on the road to Columbia and losing this game. That's their second loss of the year. And if LSU were going on the road to Columbia, I'd probably have South Carolina winning that game as well with how it worked out last year. Got weird. LSU squeaks it out. But hosting them in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
So we sit here in August. I got LSU winning this game.
I have LSU winning this game because this game is at LSU. That's the difference. I think Lenore will have a great day. Dylan Suter have a great day. Nick Harbor. The guys for South Carolina will show up. I just think LSU has more guys on that roster from a talent standpoint. And I still think Shane, South Carolina will have a great year, but I still worry about them up front on the offensive line. I know Reptar can get out and escape a little bit, but LSU is going to be hunting in this game.
Yeah. All right, so little bit of a, and look, I know Vandy did some things last year and people were like, oh, Vandy's not a trap game anymore. If you look, their next game is up here in Nashville at Vandy, and it's sandwiched in between South Carolina at home and A&M at home. And if you've seen anything about Vandy, you can't sleepwalk through this one with Diego Pavia running around, little Wario running around over there making plays. But I just feel like at the end of the day, because Vandy did what they did last year and beat Alabama and you know, beat Virginia Tech and Auburn. I don't think LSU is going to overlook them. I think they go on the road. They handle business. It may be a little bit tighter than LSU fans feel comfortable with. You know they're going to travel up here, especially if their ass is sitting here at 5-1 like I have them coming off that big win over South Carolina. Give me LSU to move on to 6-1, to move on to 4-0 in the Southeastern Conference with a win over Vanderbilt. And that gumbo just getting spicier and spicier the way we go along here.
Some etouffee maybe?
Oh, God.
Boudin? I agree with this. Vandy sent a message to the league a year ago by beating Alabama saying, we can get to anyone. If we can beat Alabama, we can beat anyone. And while that was all well and good, it sort of, I think, is going to work against them this year because teams like LSU and the rest of the league are going to be plastering that up on the board saying, they can beat Alabama, they can beat us. This is not a walkover, you know, sleepwalk your way through a victory against Vanderbilt anymore. And I think Diego Pavia talking throughout the offseason the way he has, I think LSU is going to pay attention
to
that.
Vanderbilt just reminds me of the Shane Gillis bit. Where he's like, well, you know, like every 6 months they blow up a car and they're like,
Vanderbilt
blew up a couple cars last year.
Yeah.
Right? And a couple, we can edit this out if we need to. But blew up a couple cars. But now everyone's pissed. Okay? Now you pissed off America. Now America knows about you. And now we're going to blow up everything you own.
Yeah, here comes
I think this year, everybody's going to treat Vanderbilt like terrorists and try to kill them. All right? So I have That's LSU hilarious. By a lot. By a lot.
Love you, Clark Lee.
Y'all aren't terrorists. I'm saying in people's eyes are.
Yes, we get it. All right, so moving on. So at this point, boys, this game against A&M, that's the next week at home, is going to be huge. Because again, got you sitting here at 6-1, undefeated in the SEC, just went on the road to beat Vandy. A&M's coming to town. And, you know, the Alabama game is really the one that ended up cooking LSU last year as far as the you're not making the playoff. You're not going to play in the SEC championship game. But let's not forget about that A&M game as well, right? That put them in the position to get that third loss because A&M beat LSU last year, remember, at home. I think LSU, understanding that after the bye week the next week, you got to go to Tuscaloosa and play Bama, and that would be your third loss if you lose this one at home and you're pretty much out, I think. Some people think they can get in at 9-3. We'll see. I think they find a way at home in Death Valley to beat A&M, even though I trust A&M's physicality over them. I think they just make a couple amazing plays on the outside, throws down the field, whether it's one of the Andersons, you know, whether it's Barry and Brown. I just feel like at the end of the day, LSU finds a way using that magic in Death Valley to go beat Texas A&M.
This schedule is brutal, but they do get some marquee games at home. Right? When you talk about Florida and South Carolina and Texas A&M, and this is one that I think that home field advantage be a little bit too much for Texas A&M. Right now, I got LSU winning this one.
This, I think, will be the first real test LSU will have from a team that wants to turn it around and run it right at you. I mean, Clemson, who's going to be Clemson's lead back this year? Do we know?
Probably Adam Randall.
Yeah, I know. Not proven, right?
I mean, a little bit, but I don't
Florida,
think...
Florida, I mean, Bach's going to be a good piece, but they want to use DJ Lagway in many ways. Go through it. Ole Miss, they want to throw it. South Carolina want to get gets outside on the edge with Lenores. Texas A&M wants to turn around, give it to Moss and these Reuben Owens, and run it right at you. And that's why I have Texas A&M winning this
game. Wow, so this is the first loss for LSU.
Crowd noise is one thing, and it hurts a lot when it comes to the passing game. Marcel Reed came off the bench in this game, had 60-yard rushing, didn't look great through the air. Different Marcel Reed now, but it's a lot easier to be able to turn around and hand that damn ball off 20 to 30 times and get after LSU's ass, and I think they're going to do that in this game. I think LSU's defense will struggle. I think the offense will play well. It will be a close game, but the running game for Texas A&M will be the difference in this, and I have Texas A&M winning this.
So what's your record right now for LSU?
They have one loss.
That's their first loss.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So I have them sitting here at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7-1, undefeated in the SEC. They get a bye week.
Yep.
And then you go play the Alabama Crimson Tide in T-Town. But Bama gets a bye week before this. I know LSU, this basically ended their season last year, and Bama beat their ass to death.
You remember Jalen Milroe? Wasn't close.
Just ran all over him. This Alabama team is going to be different. But this game is in T-Town. And at this point, I have Alabama with the exact same record as LSU. If you go watch our Alabama prediction one, because again, Alabama losing at Georgia, I feel like Alabama protects home field here. I think it's a much better game than it was last year. I think it's much tighter. But I have the Alabama Crimson Tide knocking LSU down to 7-2, giving them their first SEC loss as they get ready for three more games, still in the hunt, if you're talking about LSU, for the college football playoff and the SEC championship. But give me Alabama at home to find a way to win this football game.
Yep. As I said Monday in our Alabama predictions, Alabama will hold serve in Bryant-Denny Stadium, and they will find a way to win what I am calling the Saban Bowl.
Okay, well, I think this game will obviously be closer than it was last year. I think Bama had 6 touchdowns.
Dude, Jalen Milroe just tap danced all over.
NCAA numbers. I think it'll be closer. I think Bama's a better team, and this game is at Alabama. I think Bama's secondary makes a couple plays, too, on us. He tries to press. So give me Bama. Hell, if you watched the Alabama preview, you would know this. So make sure you go watch that Alabama preview.
Yeah. All right, so the next two games, they get Arkansas at home in Baton Rouge. I know that's a quote-unquote rivalry game, even though we're not getting it every year now. I think this is it for Sam Pittman. Who knows Taylen Green's health situation by the time they get here with Arkansas's schedule. Give me LSU to beat them and then obviously beat the Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky at home as they get ready for the last game of the season.
Same, and I would take LSU even if they were playing in Fayetteville this year, but they're true. In Baton Rouge. Okay. Win for me.
I got LSU winning both those games as well.
You got it close?
Arkansas in.
All right, so beating Western Kentucky, so that means to this point, I have LSU going into the last game at Oklahoma at 9-2. We all have them at 9-2.
You have them undefeated until October 25th and then losing back-to-back games.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. All right. So this is it. Season on the line, probably. We can talk about 9-3. We'll have to see the context and the circumstance. Who else is 9-3 and this, that, or the other. But this game could decide it for both teams. Not just SEC championship, but college football playoff berth. They're going to Norman, Oklahoma. And I really hope that this game means what I think it is going to mean at the end of the year, because it is going to be fantastic. Norman, we know how crazy they get up there. I think John Mateer is firmly going to be tied at worst at the top in the Heisman voting by this moment. This could be the one that breaks the camel's back for either. So because I think the rosters aren't super different, they both return quarterbacks, but they do different things well in Nussmeier and Mateer. I say return. Mateer obviously played at Washington State, but we've seen him play before. I think Oklahoma wins a thriller. A thriller in Norman. And LSU goes 9-3. And we'll have to see what that means for their college football playoff hopes. I'm not going to give that away, but I think we get 9-3 again.
Wait, so you have losses to Clemson, Alabama, and Oklahoma?
Yes.
9-3 for LSU.
9-3. 9-3.
Man, I told you boys off air earlier this week, I think LSU and Oklahoma go into that November 29th showdown last week of the year, both at 9-2. And the winner of this game goes to 10-2. The loser goes to 9-3. I stared at this game for 45 minutes. My wife thought I was crazy. Reached my pen down to give LSU a check. Reached down to give them an X. I couldn't make up my mind. I landed on an X, boys. I got Oklahoma winning this one in Norman.
Really?
That puts LSU at 9-3 for me. I think we might have the exact same. Yeah, you got Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma losses. LSU wins everything else. 9-3. Again, I don't know what that means for the college football playoff. With them going on the road and playing Clemson week one, we'll have to see.
Well, so surprise, boys. I have Oklahoma winning this football game.
Really?
The difference, I mean, to be clear, I'm not trying to rhyme, but it's John Mateer. Right, I was a poet and didn't even know it.
Did you hear?
Yeah, did you hear?
What it was?
Want to go lay in the bay on some hay?
Yeah. No,
trust me, I get it. But I think John Mateer's feet, right, is the difference in this game. I think LSU plays great. I think Nussmeier plays
LSU
fantastic.
So
I mean, look, I mean, y'all can get upset, but I'm going
to
see it. I mean, and a lot of it, a lot of people are still worried about y'all's defense, but I think what y'all brought in is going to be okay. But John Mateer, I mean, I'm going to tell you, all right, I have old boy winning the Heisman.
Okay, you're going to.
I got old boy winning the Heisman, and this might be the game that he finishes it off on to make it clear. So I think John Mateer to make it clear.
How about if you're Washington State and you're like, our last two quarterbacks both won?
Damn!
Bro.
but not here.
Yeah. So I'm like, dude, our quarterback eval system is so good. Yeah. It's just that nobody cares enough around here to keep him. So, like, this is, can I go somewhere else? I'm going to hire whoever's evaluating
so,
it. Like, it's Arbuckle. Arbuckle, good God. Somebody give this, is he just looking in the future?
So, Dave, 9-3.
Yep.
Clemson. South Carolina.
No, Clemson, Bama, and Oklahoma.
Bama, Oklahoma. You're Clemson, Bama,
exact
Oklahoma.
Exact same thing.
I'm Texas A&M, Bama, and Oklahoma.
Okay. We going to see. Let us know in the comments. What do you think?
See, Aggie fans, come on now.
Yeah, yell at us. Scream at me. I can feel the heat. I bet Moscona is just lighting something on fire right now. We appreciate you guys. Make sure you're subscribed. We got more great predictions coming down the pipe. Your team, if we haven't hit them already, we're going to. Don't worry. The chances. Not going to punch him. We're going to hit him. We're going to get to him. Like the chances of LSU fans being excited about going 9-3. We're going.
I cry.
Gone. You wreck it.
Hi, it's Will Cooley from the New York Rangers.
Cooley scores!
Ring in the new year with me in Miami. The NHL Winter Classic is coming to the Sunshine State. Watch as we take on the Florida Panthers in the 2026 Discover NHL Winter Classic in Miami. Catch all the action on January 2nd at 8 p.m. Eastern on TNT and HBO Max. That's January 2nd at 8 p.m. on TNT and HBO Max. For tickets and more info, visit nhl.com/winterclassic.